and go to battle in prayer on behalf of the king. And this week we are looking at one of the most famous passages in the Bible, but interestingly, it doesn't really go with the flow of the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's kind of like a side comment. Or if you remember in college textbooks, they sometimes had those little sidebars for more information. This is kind of like one of those. And so this is really probably one of the most famous asides, one of the most famous oh by the ways in all of history. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. We were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, one day, a computer programmer was searching on Google for some help on an advanced topic. And just like every other search on Google, you know, the familiar list of links and summaries appeared. But then something strange happened as the page kind of peeled back and revealed something he had never seen before. It said, "You're speaking our language, up for a challenge." And there were three options: "I want to play," "No thanks," and "Don't show me this again." Now, he was curious, so he clicked, "I want to play." And from there, he continued to follow a trail of very strange clues that culminated in 6 progressively more difficult computer programming challenges. And after 2 weeks of chasing these various rabbit trails all the way to the end, this strange website asked him for his contact info and then disappeared. He thought that was the end of it, but then 2 days later, he got a call from a recruiter with Google offering to bring him in for a job interview. He had passed their very strange test. He was worthy. Or maybe you know someone that has pledged to a fraternity or sorority, and to receive the benefits of membership, you usually have to go through some kind of initiation ritual, the most important of which is that the people who are already in the group have to like you and think you'll be fun. Now, maybe you have to memorize the Greek alphabet or a silly rhyme or story, or maybe you have to walk a straight line. Oh, wait, no, that's a field sobriety test, and they won't do that in a fraternity for sure. But whatever it is, you've got to pass the test. They have to deem you worthy. Or maybe you have certifications for work or midterms or finals coming up. Everywhere we look, we have to prove what we know and what we can do. Prove that we belong. Now, if you're a civil engineer, I do want you to have to prove you belong before designing the bridge I'm about to drive over. That's a good thing. And in the ancient world, they had something similar. For instance, you couldn't just declare yourself to be a convert to Judaism. There was a long, long process that for men culminated in circumcision before you could convert. And unsurprisingly, there was not a long line for that. But similar, there were other groups of people in the ancient world, like certain philosophers, and to follow them, you had to adopt their way of life. So to be a Stoic, you had to commit to 4 different virtues: wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance. And you had to commit to their way of thinking about the world. In fact, there are debates even today about whether certain ancient leaders who called themselves Stoics were Stoic enough to be proper Stoics. Were they worthy? But think about how strange that would be for us as Christians. Do you look back and debate, there are leaders who said they were Christian. Were they Christian enough to really count? Or what if I asked you to turn to the person on your left, to think about it, pray deeply even, and then rate them 1 to 10 how Christian they are. And if you don't get a 6, then we're not going to count you today in worship. Wouldn't that be absolutely bizarre for us as Christians? If you're a candidate in a job interview, that's what they do. They will rate you on things. If you're getting scored on a test, that'll happen. If you're trying to get into a group or a club, they will certainly evaluate you. But that's not what we do as Christians. Why? Well, verses 8 and 9 today. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Think about that. You, by grace you have been saved through faith. Not your own doing, the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. That means you belong here. That means you belong in Christ's family already. You belong. But you don't belong because you're a good person. You don't belong because you can point to how you're a changed man or woman. You don't belong because you've learned all of the rituals. You don't belong because your Bible isn't dusty. You don't belong because of anything you've said or done or thought or not done. You belong because in Jesus, God said you belong. End of story. Roll the credits. Nothing more to see here. No special scene at the end for the people who stick around for the end of the movie. Leave the theater. But as someone who used to clean up in theaters, please take your popcorn with you as you leave. You belong because in Jesus, God said you belong. That's it. Now, I've known this for a very long time. You probably have too. But still, sometimes I wonder, am I good enough? Do you ever wonder that? If you were going to stand at the pearly gates tomorrow and say you should get in, I hope you're not standing at the pearly gates tomorrow, but let's think about if you had to, what would you say? What credit have you gained? I think deep down we think God's judgment is like when two people go hiking in bear country and one of them says to the other one, I'm worried that we're going to encounter a grizzly and I've heard they're really fast. Are you worried? And the person replies, nope. Not worried at all. Well, why is that? Do you think you're faster than the grizzly? No, but I know I'm faster than you. Has that ever happened to you? Do you ever find yourself thinking, as long as I'm a little better than the next guy, as long as I make a little better decisions than that woman, we tend to think that life is graded by God on a curve. My very first test in college calculus, it was something like a 67, and that freaked me out. I had never gotten a score that low in my life, and I was feeling very distraught. I thought I knew calculus okay, and then the teacher wrote on the board what the curve was. I started feeling a whole lot better because that 67 was an A now. Everyone else had done so much worse than me that it didn't matter I didn't fully understand the rest of the things on the test because they were worse than me. And so often, I think, we think we just need to be, a good person, a little bit better than those people, and we'll be okay with God. But Jesus blows that out of the water in our first reading from Matthew. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Or as Paul writes in our text from Ephesians today, you were dead through the trespasses and sins. On the test of life, we fail. Big red F on it. But Jesus says, as we reach the pearly gates, he's with me. She's with me. They're with me. They belong. I'm not good enough when I ask that question. And if I think that I can bring my goodness to the table, I am mistaken. I have no reason to boast. Neither do you. But you and I, we belong anyway. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith. Our last verse, verse 10, adds to this, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. See, doing Christ-like things, that's not how we earn our way into the club. We already belong. Instead, we can do Christ-like things because we belong, because we have been handcrafted by the Savior for a purpose. Now, I actually don't like this translation of verse 10. Saying he made us doesn't really do this word justice. The image is of a master carefully weaving a fine fabric, or a master carpenter making sure everything is aligned just so. And so to capture our nature as being handcrafted by God, now that we belong, what does that mean for us? I'll close with one of the best poems to ever capture this, our senseless belonging. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. You may have heard it before. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidden, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two, $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the back, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bid now for this old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. Who'll make it two? 2,000. Who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, we do not quite understand. What changed its worth? Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. Many a man with life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Sisters and brothers, you belong. Simply because in Christ, God said you belong. And now that you belong, because of nothing that you've done, you belong. You can live a life that is touched by the master's hand. Don't auction your life for cheap. You are touched by the master's hand. Amen.